This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
And joining us on the line is Dr. Corinne Varady, the CEO of Idea Digital Education. And we're looking at how digital education can help us better understand our heritage as we continue again. Yeah, on the Heritage Day. I mean, Heritage Day was enacted to a certain extent to help us heal a traumatic history where South Africa was at war with itself and closed off from the rest of the world, alongside our constitution, as well as other checks and balances, ensuring that all South Africa's indigenous languages were recognized as official. The day was introduced for everyday South Africans to appreciate and have the pride in their cultural roots, which has previously, honestly, institutionally looked down upon. I mean, we've been talking about this earlier on about the domination of Zulu and Shaka Zulu and many other things that we touched on in the first hour of the show. Now, joining us on the line is Dr. Corinne Varady, CEO of Idea Digital Education, who will tell us how we can use edtech and value-based education to find common ground in our African heritage across the continent and define our rightful place in the world at large. Good morning, Dr. Varady.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for taking this time to speak to us. Truly appreciate it. I mean, just onto that, in terms of how we are celebrating Heritage Day from a South African perspective, are we, in brackets, doing it the right way?
Well, I think there is no right way. I think the beauty of what Heritage Day really represents is that it's a melting pot, that South Africa is a melting pot. And in that self, that's what's its identity, its strength. And so, you know, actually probably very well timed, given everything that's been happening in the country recently, what we should do is take a moment to pick the best parts of that melting pot and ensure that we model that, because that's the type of society that we want, that's both, you know, national in terms of understanding the struggle and history that South Africa's gone through, but made up of a variety of unique individuals, but sitting on a continent that is rapidly changing and that has its own identity as well. And I think that's what we have to now try and work out. How do we teach young people where they sit, given that it's actually in a very multidimensional world?
And you know, when we speak and looking at what has been happening on the ground as it is at the moment, as we celebrate Heritage Day, one would say we need to start looking at and speaking at the realities on the ground, inclusive of understanding migrant heritage, you know, because the reality is that there is a lot of migrants in the country and they make the country, one can say, more cosmopolitan than before.
Yes, and I think we have to, this whole issue around xenophobia or extreme racism has come from a social and economic disenfranchisement. You know, the reality is that South Africa sits on the African continent and has a very strong and proud African history. And that means in supporting from African countries and to supporting them themselves, dating, you know, well throughout the struggle. So I think what we have to be looking at now is saying, you know, what is it that we want as a country, as an identity? Especially the youth need to decide this, because, you know, it can be determined from the top. It can be determined from people who, you know, went through a whole different transformation over the last 25 years. But actually, this is the new South Africa that needs to be defined and determined by the young people that live in it. And so that means, you know, we need to be embracing immigration, because it is a reality of what we're dealing with. But that is hand in hand within saying, what is the South African national identity that we want everybody to be able to feel free and comfortable? And that goes beyond the constitution. I mean, I think South Africa's constitution protects one of the most sort of sophisticated and vibrant metropolises on the continent. But what we've got to make sure is that we don't just rely on the constitution, but actually look at how do we as individuals deliver it. Because the Constitution is a set of laws. You know, what we need to be looking at and what Heritage Day should be saying to us is we need to take those laws into practices of our culture.
Yeah. And how then do we, as we embrace 4IR, as it were, how digital education can help us better understand this heritage? And the a lot of questions, Dr. Varadi, that has been asked is that do we even have, you know, the historical research and background that actually tells us exactly where we come from and that we can understand our heritage before we can even talk about digital education and embracing the fourth industrial revolution?
Look, I think it's a great question. Mm. But I think, you know, a lot of people are spending time trying to work out in terms of what South African heritage is by drawing lineage of themselves and their family, right? So if we consider that the individual, what we're trying to look at is what does the collective look like? So that is saying that we recognize all these individuals inside of this system, but we have to actually start painting a picture of South Africa as a nation and a nation on the African continent and not and then actually the African continent working inside a digital economy and not just trying to see it as an individual personal story and narrative, because that's where we can sometimes get stuck about, well, when should we start looking at technology being an influence in our lives? I think the reality is people are talking about when they're going to go into the fourth industrial revolution. We're smack bang in the middle of it right now. You know, the way that mobile fintech apps that we use in banking, the way that our transportation technology, the way that now our educational technology has been driven is means we are inside of the fourth industrial revolution. We don't really get a choice now. And the reason we don't get a choice is not because it's a bad thing or being forced upon us, but because actually technology has helped us already to find efficiencies in our lives. So I think what we need to be looking at, and certainly from an educational technology point of view, is that how does it help us to teach our students, give a better democratic education, but also do that within a space where there's a constantly changing dynamic around heritage, culture, and values. And the beauty of technology is that it doesn't discriminate. It's not prejudiced. It can be accessed freely anywhere. It is probably more democratic than most human beings are able to, even if well-intentioned, to execute when delivered to students. So I think we need to be looking around those ideas of saying, look, the technology can help our students to be exposed to, it could be that it's exposed to other countries and values and cultures on the African continent, but it also allows our students to work out what is their role and identity in a global economy, because that's the economy that they're facing, and that is not a choice. You know, that is the one economy that is driving forward very quickly, and we don't want South Africa to be left behind. So, you know, next Heritage Day, perhaps, we're going to be sitting there discussing, you know, how does the struggles over the last 25 years to try and create this democracy that is South Africa today fit in to a new Africa, and a new Africa within a global economy. I mean, I think there's some of the ideas that we need to be taking on.
Mm. And how are you then, as IDEA Digital Education, factoring this and putting this through for us to then, make sure that we celebrate our Heritage Day, but not only celebrate and embrace the diversity and making sure that young people in South Africa are actually able to take it further and embrace and celebrate not only the past, but make sure that it remains relevant and important to embrace and celebrate our heritage.
So, I mean, we are a very proud South African company, and we created a lot of very important case studies and historical pieces within our content that we deliver that are South African. But what we've also done is create essentially a pan-African linkages and similar case studies, and so a student may be working through English first additional language, and they use stimulus materials that may come from Julius Nyerere up in Tanzania, who struggled for the freedom of Tanzania. So it could be from speeches from President Kagame in Rwanda. Mm. So what we've done is we've tried to take a very strong African culture and expose students to that so that it's pan-African understanding. And then what we've also done is to push global values. So, you know, we constantly are saying, you know, there should be more women in STEM or engineering positions. And so that's what we've shown. So it's about how do you, using your existing syllabus and your existing framework, how do we drive stories and narratives about other people, about other cultures that are global? Because we want South Africans to walk out and not feel insular. They need to walk out to the world and say, well, I've read this. I know this. I've been exposed to this before they come out of the trick. We shouldn't be trying to create a nationalist South African only, you know, sort of idea, because actually it's all the global richness that's going on at the moment that will influence their education.
Dr. Varadi, thank you very much for taking this time to speak to us. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Corinne Varadi speaking to us all the way from Italy. The line was quite clear for somebody who's miles away.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.